Good evening, and welcome to another exciting class here in Ever Increasing Word Training Center. This class is Catching the Waves of Revival by Apostle Jonathan David. Once again, I'm your instructor for this semester, Dr. W. Ron Walker. Tonight, we will be covering chapters 2 and 3 in your books. Chapter 2 is the characteristics of the end time revival, and chapter 3 deals with the nature of the revival fire. So let us begin.
Spiritual timing.
Spiritual timing.
Acts chapter 2.
Acts chapter 2.
Verse 1.
God's
time is precise in every outpouring.
God's timing, or God's time, is precise in every outpouring or in every revival that's recorded.
Timing is described as kairos.
Timing is described as kairos.
A specific appointed time.
Which is a specific appointed time in God.
God moves on time and spiritual timing.
God moves on time and God moves in spiritual timing.
Is the key to spiritual harvest.
And that is the key to spiritual harvest.
Number 2, spiritual preparation.
Number 2, there must be spiritual preparation.
Acts chapter 2.
Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Go ahead.
God cannot move unless man has prepared themselves.
God, notice this phrase, God cannot move except man takes the time to prepare himself.
In accordance to his word.
In accordance to what? God's word. In other words, everything that God does, he does it in according to his agenda, according to his purpose, according to his word.
The fire came from heaven.
The fire came from heaven.
After the prophet Elijah.
After the prophet Elijah.
Had built the altar according to.
Had built an altar to God according to God's own word.
The rain came after Noah.
The rain came down after Noah.
Had built the ark in accordance.
Had built the ark. Notice the phrase. According to what? God's word. That means they didn't act independently from God. They act in accordance with what? Divine instructions. Go ahead.
The apostles prepared themselves.
The apostles prepared themselves.
Before the day of Pentecost.
Before the day of Pentecost.
In accordance to prophetic revelation.
In accordance to prophetic revelation and in accordance to what? God's word. Remember, after Jesus ascended, he told them, go and wait for the promise of the Father. Go to the upper room. Wait for the promise. When I ascend on high, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost back, but I need you to be in the place where I'm ascending. Go ahead.
They prepared themselves individually.
They prepared themselves. The apostles prepared themselves individually.
And corporately.
And they prepared themselves corporately.
Before the revival broke forth.
Before the revival broke forth.
Acts chapter 1, verse 14.
Acts chapter 1, verse number 14.
They prepared themselves.
They prepared themselves.
In prayer.
In prayer.
With one accord in unity.
With one accord and with unity.
In establishing leadership structure.
And they also established leadership structure.
Among themselves according to God's
divine. Among themselves according to God's divine purpose.
Human responsibility.
There's always human responsibility.
Is essential to revival.
That is essential to revival.
They. Is the key word and it clearly defined.
They is the key word and it clearly defined.
The corporate responsibility.
The corporate responsibility.
And response.
And response.
Before the revival came.
Before the revival came. So the revival was just not the product of one person. It was a corporate thing. It was individuals who prepared themselves and came together in accordance with who? God's word. You listening? God always needs a fire starter. You listening? Without a fire starter, there will not be what? A fire. Go ahead.
Number 3.
Number 3.
Spiritual outbursts.
There must be spiritual outbursts.
Though the apostles were expecting. The revival. Yet they were still taken by surprise. So suddenly and powerfully. God intervened.
In the spiritual destiny of his church, or the spiritual destiny of his people. It happened so quickly.
And it happened so suddenly. That the people were caught unaware.
Or you can say what? Off guard. Go ahead. The sudden divine shock tactic.
Is to remind men of their vulnerability.
Of his vulnerability
before an awesome God.
Before the awesome God that we serve.
The effect of the sudden working of the Holy Spirit. Is very striking in the conviction. Of the sinners.
And the awakening of God's saints.
Number four. Spiritual liberty.
The Holy Spirit who fell from heaven.
Had full liberty.
To move.
And to direct the people as what?
He chooses. See, we have to remember, it's as the Spirit leads. Y'all remember this famous saying of the Winans, song rather, wherever I go, let the Spirit follow me. Now y'all like that. All y'all was out there clapping and worshiping, but you know, in the divine order of things, you listening? In the divine order of things, we're not, the Spirit don't follow us. We follow the Spirit. Now don't get mad, because I took away your mama's favorite hymn. Come on, go ahead.
He was allowed to move in any direction.
The Holy Spirit was allowed to move in any direction.
And his spontaneous work.
And the Holy Spirit's spontaneous work
spread so quickly
from one person to another.
It seeks to fulfill God's eternal purpose. Number one. By gathering spiritual momentum. In the hearts of those who obey.
Obey. Remember, obedience. Everybody want to talk about faith. Faith is following apostolic instructions through hearing. You listening? Following apostolic instructions translates into what? Obedience. God cannot move if man doesn't cooperate with his instructions through what? Obedience. Go ahead. Revival follows God's divine agenda.
By gathering spiritual momentum. Divine momentum will take you through the curve of the enemy.
Will always take us through the curve of the enemy.
Number five. Spiritual presence. In every revival. The manifested presence of God. Pricks and convicts the heart of men.
Now we saw that in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter got up to preach. You listening? After Peter preached that apostolic message, the Bible says these men were pricked in their hearts. To the intent, they said, what must we do to be saved? What action we have to take? See, there's no revival unless there's a convicting and powerful, awesome move and demonstration of God's power in our midst. The church is too busy with socialization and organization. You listening? Trying to be like the world. But we have to have power, children. Go ahead.
God is honored and held in holy respect.
During revival.
God's consciousness.
God's consciousness.
fills the heart of men.
Fills the hearts of men.
Creates an awareness of sin.
And it creates a what? An awareness of what? Go ahead. Who does that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never condemn you, but he will convict you. You listening? I say he will never condemn you, but he will convict you. When you are condemned, it is you condemning yourself. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead. God becomes visibly and audibly present
among his people.
Among his people.
Manifestation of true revival brings.
Manifestation of true revival brings.
Number one. An overwhelming sense of God's presence.
An overwhelming sense of God's presence.
That brings conviction of sin.
That brings conviction of what? Sin.
Number two. Salvation to unregenerate man.
And salvation to unregenerate man.
Number three. A transformation of lives. Number six, spiritual vessels. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. This is one of the characteristics of true revival.
God takes over ordinary human lives
to do extraordinary work in the community of men.
Now, y'all know what happened in Acts chapter 2, right? And when? Didn't say if. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus commanded them to go wait for the promise of the Father. He said, you have heard of me, but when I ascend, I'm going to send to you the one who was in me, God in me, the Holy Ghost is God in me, and I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send him to you. He will be another comforter, another of the same sort, another of the same kind that I am. But he won't be Emmanuel, God with you. He will be Holy Spirit, God in you. Are you listening to me? And so the scripture saying, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? One accord, where at? In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a what? Rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house where they were what? Sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Now notice it. And it sat up on each of them. It set up on what? Each of them. It was individual. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Now in Genesis chapter 11, the whole earth was of one language. You listening? And God said nothing could be withheld from that generation because they were of one language, one speech. They were in perfect unity and perfect harmony. God said, except we go down and confound their language, there's nothing that they cannot do. You listening? Well, in Acts chapter 2, what was lost in Genesis 11 was restored to the church. We have a language of the Spirit. A language of what? No, a language of the Spirit. And when we, listening, are you listening? When we're all filled with the Holy Spirit will bring clarity. You listening? Because we're not following man's agenda. God must bypass our minds. We must renew our minds to God's word. You listening? So that the Holy Spirit can have free course and lateral movement. He can do anything he wants. Because we're cooperating with him. We're in the day now where man's agenda has died. Only God's agenda will prevail. Go ahead, son. God needs prepared vessels whom he can.
Number one.
Anoint with his power.
Number two. To help fulfill his purpose on this earth.
God
God's strategy is to prepare that man.
That man
to affect the world.
To impact or to have an effect on what? The whole world.
Number seven, spiritual manifestation.
Number seven, there must be spiritual manifestation.
The Holy Spirit will begin. To allow the manifestation of his gift.
To allow, notice this phrase now, the manifestation of his gifts. Who gifts?
His
gifts. The Holy Spirit has gifts. You listening? Those nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you listening, is available to every child of God. How many? Every child of God. You listening? Every child of God have access to all nine manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Somebody say, what's the best one? The best one is the one that's needed. You listening? The one that God wants to reveal. But I think in the body of Christ, the gifts don't flow like they should because people think the gifts are for certain other people. No, gifts are for you. Fruit are for you. You listening? The fruit of the Spirit, nine fruit, nine gifts. Now think about that. Nine fruit and nine gifts. That's 18, right? 18 speaks of infirmity. That's okay. You'll get it one day. 18 speaks of infirmity. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit eradicates all infirmities in our lives. Likewise, the Spirit also, Romans 8:26, helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as what we ought. But who? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that we must join with. You listening? So he can pray through us the perfect will of God. Go ahead, son.
Number two. To allow power to break forth in our lives.
To allow power to break forth in our lives.
The power of the Spirit.
Is made manifested in any revival.
And healings. Signs and wonders.
And signs and wonders are also manifested in what? Every revival. Y'all know what Acts 2:22 declares? Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among you by what? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Here's the key phrase. Which God did by him in your midst, as you also what? Know. In other words, no man, no woman can perform any miracles, you listening, except God be with him. Because it's really not the man doing the work. It is God doing the work. And men try to get credit for what God do. But I had an interview with Jesus. St. John 14 and 10. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me? What'd he say? The words that I speak unto you. I speak not, these words don't come from myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. How does the Father dwell in Jesus? The same way he dwells in us, by the person of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
Number eight. Spiritual impact. There's no true revival.
There is absolutely no true revival.
If there's no visible manifestation.
In society.
It results in.
Number one.
Spiritual growth. Number two. Numerical spiritual growth.
See, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity will produce numerical growth. You heard that? Because in spiritual maturity, in the apostolic, we understand that it's not up to the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to do everything. They equip the saints. They perfect, they mature the saints to do what? The work of the ministry. You listening? Every joint must supply. I think in 2024, we still have a generation of individuals who look, you listening, for the fivefold to do the work. God said, no, I brought you in here to do the work. You listening? If anybody's going to be witness to, I need you to be a witness. I don't need you needing a handout. I need for you. Are you listening? I need for you to be a witness for me by the life that you live. Go ahead.
Number three. Material growth. Number four.
It's good to have a plenty of money. You listening? The struggle is over. Yeah. This apostolic school of ministry is not designed to teach you the history of the Bible, but the mystery of the Bible. Yeah. Apostle Thompson's, you listening, who is the apostle of this school of ministry, the reason why God established this school of ministry is so that all of the individuals attending the school of ministry can see when the Spirit of God would come upon him. Because he's a man of the Spirit. You listening? And those instructors around him, are you listening? When they are in concert and in alignment with him, you listening? That same Holy Spirit can fall on them. Because then that means apostolic ministry is what? One man. Go ahead.
Number three.
Material growth.
Number four. Growth in relationships.
A great spiritual harvest of souls.
Is seen in what?
True revival.
In Acts chapter 2, verse 41. There were added about
3,000 souls to the church.
In Acts chapter 4, verse 4.
The number of men added to the church was about what? 5,000.
In Acts chapter 5, verse 14. Multitudes of both men and women. Were added
to the church. Not just added daily. See, some of y'all don't read the Bible. You listening? Why is that not happening today? Why? Where's the power? Huh? Where is the outpouring? Could it be the church is so secular, so social? They want a social church. They want picnics and programs. Men Day, Women Day, Men in Black Day, Women in White Day. Now, nobody got no time for that. We're here to do what God called us to do. That is to reconcile unregenerated men and women to God. Go ahead.
In Acts chapter 6, verse 7.
In true revival.
The word of God increases. The number of disciples are what?
Multiply. The word of God what? Increases. That's not talking about how many books of the Bible you know. That's not talking about how many scriptures you could quote. What that is talking about, God's word increasing in my life. So I can produce what it says I can. Go ahead.
Number nine. Spiritual ministries.
Spiritual ministries are birthed during revival.
Number one.
They are birthed by reason of continuous connection.
Number two. Consistent followers receive spiritual quickening.
And promotion.
They enter a new dimension of power.
And honor with God and man.
These ministries are provided with God's wisdom. To establish God's kingdom where at?
On the earth. So get rid of your heavenly mind. We're not here in this training center to teach you to go to heaven. In the apostolic, it's heaven to earth government. For too long, the church has been training folk to go to heaven. Are you listening? And you longing to go to heaven makes you no earthly good. We are here to bring heaven to earth. That's what Jesus did. And Jesus left a commandment, occupy till I come. Well, the church has been saying, rapture us before you come. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Oh, some of y'all want the rapture so bad. The rapture is not an escape hatch for the people of God to get out because of what the devil is doing. When we have been designed by God to bring order to this chaotic world. But somebody got to train you and teach you. You got the power. Go ahead.
They are basically apostolic in nature. They're consolidate the corporate experiences.
They consolidate the corporate experiences
of the church by.
Number one.
Establishing church structure.
Establishing church governmental structure.
Number two. Providing wisdom for the proper functioning of the
providing church. Wisdom for the proper what? Functioning of the church.
Only apostolic wisdom and prophetic insight. Can lay the proper foundation. Number one. To establish the church in the midst of revival.
Number two.
To develop the church in the midst of the revival.
Number 10, spiritual strategies.
We need to know divine strategies.
That God will use in our generation. God knows the weakest link
in the satanic kingdom
that's over our cities. Immense power concentrated
in one small spot
can create
breakthroughs which were previously thought
as impossible. Now, I'm going to tell my age, but I'm going to go ahead on and use this illustration. When I was a little boy, we used to have a sheet of paper, and they gave us a magnifying glass, and we would take and put it in the sun. You listening? But that paper would not catch on fire until you got that little light, that beam that was coming through that magnifying glass so thin, it started off as a big circle. Y'all remember it? But you got it to the point where you hit it just right and it was concentrated in that one spot. And what happened? It broke out under fire. That's what God wants to do through us in the enemy's camp. Go ahead. What is God giving to the church?
In this city.
The type of strategy.
Will depend upon the type of community. God wants to reach.
The only way to shut the gates of hell.
Is to open the doors of heaven. God awakens the church. Through revival, through his divine resources. The church that is asleep is.
Number one.
Often out of touch with the word of reality.
Number two.
Is often deceived about his own spiritual state.
Number three.
It lacks the cutting edge to strike. At the weakest link.
Of the satanic kingdom.
The primary effect of the revival.
Number one.
Is to revive and revitalize.
Of the saints.
Number two.
And the gathering of spiritual momentum.
To affect the sinner. The quickening of the saints.
Is the root.
And the conversion of the sinner is the fruit.
chapter number 3, the nature of the revival fire.
Revival is seen
as the breaking forth
of heaven's fire on the earth.
It breaks the effects
and it influences
of hellfire
on the earth
and establishes whose kingdom? God's kingdom.
God purifies,
reducing the size
and quantity
of the material,
but it increases
what? The value.
Fire extracts
the worthless
from the precision,
thus giving value
and worth to what?
Worth to it.
Though it is less in what?
Quantity.
It is increased in what?
Quality. That's what happens to the diamonds you have. You listening? The clearer the diamond means the less impurities it have. You listening? So have you ever heard this term? Man, when that person lifted up their hand, that light hit that diamond and it was fire. Okay, you got zirconium. I can tell you didn't respond. You must be have some fake stuff on your hand. Go tell him, get you something new. Go ahead.
When we understand
the nature of the revival fires,
we can work alongside
with the Holy Spirit
and help propagate
God's purpose
until the revival fire
becomes an engulfing flame
affecting every place
and people
that God desires to touch
and to influence.
Seven essential characteristics
that is related to fire
which can be applied
to the revival that we're in.
Number one,
there is a need for fire.
Needed fire
is a purposeful fire.
We must know the purpose
for wanting the fire.
We need to know
why God
will be sending the revival fire
our way.
Those of us
who seek the revival fire
must know the purpose
for wanting it so
that our motives
in calling down revival
is purged
and pure.
The divine purpose
should be our primary focus
so that God's purpose
and plans
will be established
in this earth realm.
The intensity
of our longing for revival
increases
because of the revelation
of our helplessness
and our need.
The spiritual energy
of faith
released in this sense
of helplessness
demands a what?
Touch from above. Simply put, we cannot do this without God. Man cannot do the work of God without God's divine influence in and through his life. Go ahead.
Number two. A need for a fire starter.
There's a need for what? Fire starter.
God is an arsonist.
He sets fire to hearts
that are ready for him.
That are ready for what?
For him.
When we allow God
to ignite us,
then the spiritual timing is what?
Now.
Not tomorrow, not next week, not one day. God is the God of the now. Go ahead.
Revival
does not originate
with us. But from God.
But revival originates with God.
Who is the consuming fire.
Who is an all-consuming fire.
His overwhelming passion.
God's overwhelming passion.
Is to heal the church.
Is to heal the church.
To touch and transform her.
To touch and to transform the church.
And to break through every barrier.
And to break through every barrier.
That the enemy
and men set.
God initiates a revival. Revival fire. Is God's answer.
To hell's unholy fire. Don't y'all let me go over time up here now. Okay, go ahead.
The revival fire. Is often sparked off.
In our time of communion
and fellowship with God. As we cannot walk with fire. And not be burnt.
You can't walk with fire and not be what?
Burnt.
Okay, remember that. Go ahead.
The revival fire. Does not originate. From God. That fire results in futility.
Doesn't come from God, it results in what? Futility.
And brings upon God's judgment.
And it brings with it God's judgment.
Starting an unholy fire. Had drastic consequences. On King Saul's life. His kingdom.
Was taken from him.
And given to who?
King David. You won't know why? You listening to me? In the apostolic, you can't cater to people. See, we're in a day now where people want to control, you listening? The government of the church. Most people get frustrated with apostolic churches because they can't have their way. They think it's a democracy. They want to vote. There's no voting in here. You listening? In the apostolic, we follow what? Government. God calls a man, sends him to us. We join ourselves to him. You listening? He trains us. He teaches us. He imparts his wisdom to us. You listening? Why we can learn from everybody but spiritual men? We question everything they want to do. You listening? Go ahead.
Number three,
a need for ignitable materials.
To gather momentum. Ignitable materials are needed. God works on the life
of the church.
To become a vessel. That he can put flames on. God wants us
to become responsive
to his touch
and his spirit.
We are to become highly inflammable
in our response to God.
God's word and his spirit
must so highly excite us and God's seal must consume us.
We must be consumed
by our passion for God.
And become increasingly overwhelmed
by our consciousness
that he's in us
and wants to move through us because he's for us and with us.
We must not put anything. Object or excuses. In the way that will stop us. From becoming ignitable vessels.
We got to get everything out that's stopping us from being what? Ignited. You listening? See, I'm a barbecuer. The worst kind of, y'all ain't gonna like me. See, that's why you gotta have money. Because you know, you have Kingsford and you have Matchlight. They both buy Kingsford. You listening? But one, you have to buy a lot of fluid to soak it in. The other one, you just pile them up because they're already soaked in a lighter fluid and throw the match and it lights up. Well, get ready for next week. Enjoy a great night.